It ultimately started with me having an entity in my system, and I had my own exorcism 3 years ago now, and it radically changed my entire life. I stopped feeling alive. I stopped feeling love. I stopped feeling myself. And I felt like I was taking action and doing things that like did not make sense. I would do things while being like, why am I doing this? And feeling like I couldn't stop myself. And so it took me some time to like integrate and be like, oh my God, that was the entity. That wasn't me. Being able to see and become aware, it gives purpose and meaning because, like, if we are unconscious to it, they're gonna keep doing it. In order to actually have compassion and love during this process, you need to have courage. You've got to be able to be like, whatever's here, I've got it.
Hello, and welcome to the We Are the Medicine podcast. This podcast is a place where we discuss a wide variety of topics, from psychedelics and other plant medicines to sovereignty and spirituality. This is a space where we have raw and vulnerable conversations and explore the mysteries of our universe with the intention of empowering listeners and guiding you to ask the questions that will help you come into a deeper resonance with your truest essence. I'm your host, Serena Rose. Now let's get into the episode. What's up, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the We Are the Medicine podcast. I am super excited to share this episode with you. It is definitely a real juicy one. Today, I am joined by my amazing friend, Tanin Mateen, who is a spiritual teacher, multidimensional trauma healer, speaker, and shamanic medicine ceremonialist. In this episode, Tanin is going to be sharing how she got into doing exorcism work, and she also shares a few stories of some experiences she's had while doing this work. I think there's a lot of misconception around dark entities and demons. And I think honestly, a lot of that has to do with the ways that mainstream Christianity has programmed us to see things in a certain way. And that's not a knock on Christianity at all, actually. I think there's a lot of truth and a lot of wisdom and a lot that we can learn from the teachings. But I think that the programming comes from the powers that be within the Christian church that have been around for centuries that want us to be in fear of these things. And so a big reason that I wanted to do this podcast episode was to dispel some of that fear for myself even, but also for all of you listening, because I think that if we can have a better understanding of what these low vibrational dark entities are, then we can actually empower ourselves and take our power back, because the fear is what feeds them anyway and gives them more power and ability to access us. So I really hope that this episode can give you all some good insight and help you to open your mind and just get curious and ponder for yourself what is the meaning, what is the truth of these other dimensional entities, be they light, dark, anywhere in between. I think it's a fascinating thing to talk about, so I'm excited for you to hear it. We talk all about the nature of demonic entities and the different levels of dark entities that exist in the field. Tanin also gives some great tips on how to know if you are experiencing an entity attachment and also how to protect yourself from these dark entities. Tanin shares about the importance of parts work and how learning about internal family systems can actually help you to track within your own field and your own system and to differentiate from your trauma, the different aspects of yourself, and potential lower vibrational spirit entity attachments. Throughout this discussion, we ponder what is the purpose of lower vibrational entities and how we can shift our perspective from fearing them to recognizing that they also have a role to play in the grand multidimensional design of the universe. Tanin also dispels some of the misconceptions about these dark lower vibrational entities and helps us come into a much more well-rounded perspective of what they are and how they work. We also get into a very fascinating conversation about the dark nature of Hollywood and what it means to sell your soul. We dive into the dark nature of the music industry and also share our thoughts on how the concept of selling your soul maybe isn't always exactly what people think of it as. This is such a beautiful, potent, juicy, interesting, fascinating episode, and I think that if you have any curiosity around this topic, or if you have fear around dark entities, demons, and you are getting into any kind of spiritual work or just opening yourself up on your spiritual path, but there's fear around these things, I think that this episode could really help you to open your mind and just think about things in a new way, and also just learning how to protect yourself from any energies or entities that may be wanting to harm you, because these things definitely are real. In my experience, I have had experiences with different kinds of low vibrational entities, and I think we can always empower ourselves through our awareness and opening our minds and finding a deeper understanding. So, without further ado, let's get into the episode. What's up, y'all, and welcome back to the We Are the Medicine podcast. I am super grateful and excited today to have my friend Tanine. Hello, Tanine, welcome.
Hello, family. It is such a gift to be here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
And it's going to be a good one. We have a topic in mind that we want to speak on, but we're going to let it flow and see where spirit wants us to go. But I'd really like to just dive right into it, because I know that you have been doing exorcism work, and I think it would be really beautiful for you to share what led you to this work and how you got into it.
Yeah, it's such an interesting path that has led me to doing this work, and it ultimately started with me having an entity in my system. And I had my own exorcism 3 years ago now, and it radically changed my entire life. It felt like everything started to make sense on my healing journey, and why it was so hard for me, and why I couldn't feel the essence of who I was. And I remember, you know, my mentor at the time, it was like a spontaneous healing. I was part of a 2-year awakening school that does attachment work. It does really advanced spiritual healing work rooted in Tibetan Buddhism, awake awareness practices. And the field actually orchestrated this experience for me, which ultimately led to my mentor performing an exorcism on me. And I could feel how this entity was like wrapped in my organs and where it was living and why those places in my body felt so disconnected from them. Like no matter what I did, it's like I felt so hard and numb. And when he completed and brought the entity out of me, I just remember afterwards he looked at me and he's like, "Your soul knows how to do this." And at the time, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. and he was like, your system knew what to do. Like, he's like, I could feel that your system was right there with me as you were doing it. And you know how to do this work. And so at the time, I was like, it took me some time to really integrate from that experience. You know, when I had this entity in me, it entered into my system, my sophomore year of college. And there was a very distinct period of time where I stopped feeling alive. I stopped feeling love. I stopped feeling myself. And I felt like I was taking action and doing things that like did not make sense. Like I would do things while being like, why am I doing this? And feeling like I couldn't stop myself. And so it took me some time to like integrate and be like, oh my God, that was the entity. That wasn't me. And it was such a challenging time in my life. And I'm so grateful that I can openly talk about this, like with my mom, with you know, my parents, because They watched this period of time where I was like the happiest girl, like life was working out for me, like life was good. And then all of a sudden I was depressed and I started losing all of my friends because I was acting in these ways that felt not like me. And I got really depressed. I was suicidal. I was so lost in my life. And so it took me some time to integrate. Like, oh, okay, this makes sense. I started to feel myself again. And then through the medicine, through ayahuasca, through just my healing gifts starting to awaken and activate my expanded awareness, I started to be able to see and track them. I could actually feel when someone was talking to me, I could feel this like subtle shift in their energy and their eyes and their awareness. And I was like, oh my God, that's not them. And so naturally the gift just started to awaken. And I explored just through energy healing work. You know, I do in-person work. I do a lot of different things, but that's one of the things that I offer. And in these healing experiences I was having with just like my friends, and I was pulling entities out of them. And they would literally tell me, they're like, I've never felt someone viscerally take something out of me like that. And so the gift started happening by just doing medicine ceremony with friends and watching these transformations and these healings happen through me. And during that journey, Jesus and Mary Magdalene have been my teachers. You know, I have not really been taught by a mentor how to do this. They're the ones that come through me, quite literally. I can feel them and they're telling me, this is where it lives. This is what you need to do. They're visually showing me how to perform the experience. And I've done years of meditation practice that has helped me live in this state of an expanded awareness where I'm not getting caught in my thoughts. I'm not getting caught in my emotions. I'm actually allowing the intelligence of life do the healing through me. And so I started working with these beings. I started to set really beautiful prayer and intention to have these beings work through me, and Archangel Michael as well. You know, like I got a strong team of people, and I started to own. I was like, this is a gift that I have, and it's medicine that people need. And so I started to do medicine ceremony with people, and now even just sober experiences where I'm clearing entities out of their systems. And, you know, most recently I had this woman who had been going to therapy for 28 years. She's been doing medicine work with shamans. She's been in the game. She's been doing the healing work for a while. And in our first session, I could tell when we were having conversation, I'm like, there's something blocking her. And I just asked her, I was like, are you open to this? And she was. And when I cleared it out of her system and I saw her the next week, I was in awe. She looked like a completely different person, the way that she was holding herself and everything. And she's like, I have been trying to heal this thinking it's me my whole life. And so the path that has led me here has felt like God, it's felt like spirit, it's felt like a natural unfolding of medicine that I'm here to bring into the world. And it's required me to really like slow down a lot and listen, because it's not something to dance with lightly. It's not a space to dance with lightly. And it's taken a lot of experience and experiences with people to learn. Because it's like, you know, you can't really learn this in a book. So that's the journey that's led me to like right now.
Yeah, that's powerful, and it's interesting. Like, I'm sure that you never expected that you would be here doing this work, but it's like when spirit calls, you answer.
Yeah, it's spirit and soul. You know, it's like there's a part of my soul that knows these realms. And when we had one of our ayahuasca ceremonies together, ayahuasca literally showed me the demonic realms, and she was showing me how they worked, and that there's actually enlightened demons that are wanting to heal. They're actually wanting to transition into the angelic realms. They're on their own awakening paths. They have their own consciousness, and they're attaching themselves onto light workers. They're at, like, I have chills even as I'm talking about this, but they're attaching themselves for a multitude of reasons. Like, one is like they want to heal. They literally want to go into the angelic realms. Also, it's such an initiation as a healer, whether you actually do hands-on healing work or you are just a gifted spiritual healer being, to understand these realms and how they work. And from my integration and sitting with it, it's like there's a karmic piece here for some of us, like to actually have this experience so that we learn, so that we can bring this light into the world, because we know these realms, we really understand them, and we can help other people through it in this way. So,
Yeah, it's like being a healer of any type. It's as deep as you are willing to go into your own darkness and to the darkness of life and humanity is equally as much as you'll be able to go into the light, in the highest peaks of the light. I would really love to hear your perspective and to go a little deeper, because I know, like we've been talking about off camera, there's a lot of misconceptions around demons and entities, dark entities, and exorcisms. You know, I'm sure a lot of people, when they hear the word exorcism, they're thinking of like horror movies. And I would be interested to hear your perspective, maybe like what is the purpose of these dark entities? Because I think a lot of people don't realize that they actually have a sacred purpose as well.
You know, for me to directly answer that would be me lying, because I don't know. I don't fully know their purpose in the realm of life. What feels true to me is that we are multidimensional beings. And there is a world of light and there's a world of dark. And I think the misconception here, especially with all the horror movies, is like we see these demons. And here's the thing. One of my mentors actually described the way that he sees his work. He described it as there's four different levels of entities. And as I started to play in the realm, I'm like, there's so many different kinds, you know, it's like they're humans, like they have their own consciousness, their soul, like, and so the purpose, I think when I explain this, will shed some light as to like how they work. There's like these basic, just like the level one, the way that he described it is like, they're just like these critters. Like you go into like a dive bar, for example, or like a sketchy gas station, and you can just feel the energy just goes like, woo. And like, they don't have like full consciousness. They're just like these dark energies. And oftentimes you can just clear that by doing like a salt bath with baking soda or saging yourself, like clearing yourself in those ways, and then you feel clear. But like they can create some brain fog or just like low energy, lethargic. And then a level two, he actually described it as like we create these through our own thoughts. So like, for example, someone that really feels like they're going to get cancer, and then they think it, and then it creates this like bubble in their field, and it starts sucking their energy, and it becomes its own thing that's then connected to their field, but it's created through their own consciousness and their own thoughts and emotions, you know. So there's like that. And then level three is someone, it's a disembodied spirit. So it's somebody that was in a human body, and they didn't transition over the way that they were meant to, not necessarily the way that they were meant to, but they didn't transition over fully into the other realms. And so this, an example of this is someone that had a drug overdose, someone that had like a tragic car accident, something that like suddenly happens and the soul couldn't fully transition over. Even, you know, in today's world, when people have like cancer or they're dying from terminal illness and they're being drugged up, You know, you're not consciously transitioning over, and so their soul can get lost in that process of death. And so they're living here. And they attach themselves onto us because, like, we have life force, right? And sometimes they can be malicious, you know, like if someone was like a really angry soul in real life, like they still have the consciousness that they lived in. And sometimes they could be sad, you know, like whatever they're experiencing. And sometimes they can be really like benevolent, like your sweet grandma who just loved you so much. And like, you're in the room while she transitions and she like attaches herself, you know, we don't have a lot of tools in our society that really support the transition of death. And it's really beautiful. I know a lot of my dear sisters are becoming death doulas and supporting that spiritual transition that happens. But when it doesn't happen, you know, in the right way, like the soul can get stuck here and they can attach themselves. And then level four is what I had. So level four is a demonic entity. It's brought from another dimension of time and space through dark magic, through dark intent. And, you know, one of the exorcisms that I did, it was wild. I was literally being shown how Adolf Hitler, during everything that happened in the Holocaust, was working with the demonic realms and casting entities like through the land. And what happens when your soul is not embodied, for example, if you're terrified that you're going to die because people are coming after you, like what was happening in the Holocaust, your soul like dissociates. And so then these entities can come enter your system and then they can live through generation. So what happened with this person was like, I was clearing an entity that was passed on to her from her grandparents fleeing the Holocaust. And what I was being shown was like her grandmother was really like dissociated and her grandfather was like, we're gonna get the fuck out of here. Like I'm like embodied, I'm here. So it didn't enter his system, but it entered on the grandma's side. And so like the purpose, I don't know, like there are people here that want to bring darkness into the world. Unfortunately, it's their state of being, it's their consciousness, it's how they view, it's their soul's evolution. And so they're continuing this work. And unfortunately, like, I don't know exactly how it entered me, but my mentor reflected, like, that's what you had. Like it wanted to hurt you, it wanted to hurt everyone around you, and it did. And so, you know, that I would say is like the purpose behind it is whether a soul doesn't fully transition over and they just don't know what to do other than to latch onto, or it's like there's beings working with dark consciousness that want to cast darkness into the world. And if you're not in your body, like it enters, like these are some of the ways that it can happen.
That's so fascinating.
I just want to shout out Ethan. His company is Holographic Flow, and he's who I learned that from. And I'm so grateful for just having someone that saw that entity in me and to clear that out, because yeah, it just changed my life. So thank you, Ethan.
Shout out to you, Ethan. It's deep, deep
yeah.
And powerful and important work. And yeah, it's really cool in a way, fascinating to hear about the different levels, because there's definitely many, just like you said, there's many different kinds of humans, there's many different kinds of entities all across the spectrum. And I think it's so important to talk about this, even though there can be a lot of fear for people, because we can't just, like, we know, we acknowledge that there's angels and that there's higher dimensional beings that want to help us and support us, but there are also lower dimensional beings who want to harm us or take us off our path or keep us disempowered. And I don't know if do you know about Matthias De Stefano?
Yeah.
I've heard him talk about it in a way of, and I'm not going to get this like verbatim exactly how he said it, but from what I understand, what he says is, so as we know, there's opposing forces in the world, right? There's a force of creation and there's a force of destruction. And we could argue that maybe they're not opposing, but we'll just go with it for now.
They're polarizing, right?
Yes.
Like we live in a world of duality. So yeah, totally.
Yeah. They're one and the same at the same time, which is the funny thing. There's a force of creation and there's a force of destruction. So what I understand from what he said is there are certain entities whose purpose is to distort things and to destroy in a way. And like we said, to take you off of your path, to make you confused, to keep you disempowered. And what he said that he does, like when he comes across one of these entities, he says that they are showing him what needs to be fixed. They are messing things up and tearing things apart so he knows where his work needs to be placed in the world. And so it was really powerful, like when I heard him talking about this, because he acknowledges them and says, thank you for doing your work. Thank you for showing me where I need to place my energy and my light.
I so deeply resonate with that. You know, every time I have an experience in the presence of an entity, a clearing, they're teaching me. I'm being shown, like, there are quite literally entities that they just kind of like live in your third eye and they just like blur things. They make it like fuzzy. Like I can't fully see or feel, or there's ones that like live in the system and they just drain your life force energy. And what he's saying of like just being able to see and become aware, it gives purpose and meaning, because like if we are unconscious to it, they're going to keep doing it. They're like, the world is just going to keep happening in this way. So the like him being able to be this bridge of communicating this work and taking the fear out of it, I think that's one of my deepest prayers for this conversation, is to give people some empowerment and sovereignty over these realms. Because if you feel it and you sense it and you avoid it and you're like, I don't want to believe that's real, or, you know, it, or it consumes you with fear, or you get angry, like, why are you in me? That's how they feed, and that's how they entangle themselves in you more. And, you know, what I always offer people is really acknowledge them with compassion and understanding, like, what are you here to teach me? And start to separate your identity and yourself from it. You know, when you can start to disidentify and feel it as something that's not part of you, that's inside of you or around you, like it gives you so much empowerment to dance with it. And fear is what makes you vulnerable, right? So when you hold it with this like loving awareness of like, okay, I see you, you're something that I don't understand. And when we don't understand something, I think it's really easy to fall into the like fear of the unknown, right? And, you know, when I guide someone through an experience, I'm having them really bring their awareness into the place where it lives, and then start to separate yourself from it, and then wrap it in this like beautiful white golden light, and ask it, like, are you willing to go into the angelic realms? You know, I work with the angelic realms. This is my process of clearing, and I always work with Archangel Michael to support that process. Maybe these people listening work with different angels, you know, like trust your intuition. And a lot of this is intuitive, you know. It's when we were talking about this yesterday, it's like, if you're doing this kind of practice just from your mental field, just from your mind thinking it, you're not actually touching it with your awareness, right? And like, just to give an exercise, like, you know, when you say hello in your head three times, there's a part of you that's saying hello. And then there's a part of you witnessing you say hello. That is your awareness. So that is the part of you that needs to meet this energy. Like anytime we do healing work, anytime we do clearing work, whether it's ancestral stuff that it's like I feel my mom's energy inside of me, or I feel this entity, like the work has to be done from the level of awareness. And so when you can wrap this entity with your awareness, and then ask it really like lovingly, like, are you willing to transition? Oftentimes they are willing. And then you can just like support it with your awareness and bring it into the light, open up a portal into the angelic realms, ask for your guides to support, and transition it over into a different dimension. of time and space and into the healing realm so they can transition from this place. And for some people, like accessing a multidimensional awareness may feel really like, what is that? That feels very foreign. That feels very confusing. Like, I don't know if I know how to do that. This is where the practice of self-awareness and meditation becomes so important in just like being a spiritual being, because when you really start to stabilize yourself as awareness, being aware of your experience, like witnessing what's happening at all times instead of getting caught in the thoughts and the emotions, your life also starts to unfold differently. Like in my experience, I live a more miraculous life because I'm living from the place of awareness.
I love that. The fear part and how you acknowledge these beings, like you said, is really important. And that's why I really wanted to do this podcast with you to kind of eliminate some of that fear for myself even, and for other people to understand that, like, you ultimately you are a sovereign being. And if you meet these beings with, like you said, with that fear or anger, or you try to ignore it, like you said, that's how that you give them more power. I would love for you to share, what are some signs that people can look for to know if they have some sort of attachment? Hey friend, if you are interested in plant medicines, or if you're on the plant medicine path, or even if you just like to work with plant medicines to enhance your spiritual practice, you are going to love Four Visions Market. Four Visions Market has a wide selection of many different spiritual tools that can help enhance your spiritual practice. They have just about anything you could imagine to fit your personal spiritual needs, such as an amazing collection of hapé, which is my personal favorite thing to buy from them. Four Visions is my go-to place to get hapé, and my two favorites from them are Divine Mother Rose and the Ojo de Jaguar hapé. And even if you're not into hapé like me, I promise you they will have something you're gonna love. They have a wide selection of spiritual tools, with anything from ceremonial cacao to botanical tinctures such as King Nettle tincture, which, by the way, nettle is one of the most amazing and nutritious plants that you can put in your body. So everyone needs them a little bottle of King Nettle tincture. They also have some amazing healing lotions, Florida water, yoni steaming blends, tea blends, sananga, and they have an entire line of CBD products, including tinctures, body butters, pain salves, and even a little something for your pets. And the beautiful thing about Four Visions is that every single product in their marketplace is created handmade by indigenous people of the Amazon. And what I really love about them is that they give 50% of their profits back to those indigenous artisans to support them and their families and the tribes and make sure that they are healthy and beautiful and thriving as well. I am so grateful to be partnered with Four Visions. I really believe in their message and their purpose in this world. I love the way that they support and give back to the indigenous communities in the Amazon. And I think it's probably one of the best companies that you could support because they are really doing a lot to help those indigenous people. And I have a special 10% off code for you. So if you click the link in the show notes and use the code Serena Rose, you can get 10% off your first order. Now let's get back to the episode.
One of the deepest experiences that I've had and I've witnessed in other people is they feel like they're doing things that are not them. And understanding parts work has been really empowering, especially in these realms for myself, for my healing journey in general. Robert Faulkner wrote a book, it's called The Others Within Us, and he uses IFS as a way to perform exorcism work. And I use a lot of his teachings and methodologies to really start to understand what's happening internally. And so, like, the greatest sign is like when you're having a conversation internally, like, we have these parts of us that we can connect to. It's like the little girl in me, you know, or like I have like a feisty, like, I will fuck you up protector, you know, like she's real, like we got her too. And what I would say is, like, if you're going internally and you're connecting to these parts, and there's an energy in you that just doesn't feel like you, like the language that they're using is like, I want to kill you, I want to hurt you, I like, you're a piece of shit, you know, like sometimes they're dark, like they like. So if you're feeling those voices, if you're feeling that kind of energy, like you want to first make sure like this isn't a part of you. Like there isn't just like a part that like really hates yourself, you know, or a part that like, cause like those are real and they need our love and they need our understanding. But at a certain point, like you can feel if you've spent time with this part, you're like, this energy really doesn't feel like me. That's like the first sign. I would say if you feel yourself acting in ways that you're like, why did I just do that? Or like, I don't understand what's going on. Or, you know, if you feel like, we were having this conversation yesterday, there's like a density that they can sometimes hold in your body. And there's density from trauma, right? It's like the way that I describe it is like when I experience density constriction in my body, that's trauma. I can still connect my like awareness to like, oh, I'm dissociated here, or there's numbness, there's not sensation, or like, yeah, it feels heavy because there's emotion. When I experienced this entity in my own body, it felt like there was like this black, dark, like hard thing that I could, it didn't feel like any of that. It didn't feel like an emotion. It didn't feel like bound, like trauma or anything like that. It literally felt like a foreign thing. And so like, I would be, those are some signs of like ways that you can start to track your own system. And it does require a deep level of self-awareness and patience. And again, like really being able to meet it with the courage, like in order to actually have compassion and love during this process, you need to have courage. You've got to be able to be like, whatever's here, I've got it. I can do this. That's like the hallmark of courage of like, I can do this. If you're like wavering, you know, like in Robert Faulkner's work, he talks about like, if there's parts, like you may have like a little child part that's like terrified, like, oh my God, what if I have an entity inside of me? You've got to acknowledge that part and be like, hey, you're safe. Let's put you in a room. I'll get you when we're done this process. And like, I won't leave you behind, but I just want to make sure that you feel safe. Right? Because if there's any parts, because like we have all of these different sub personalities in us, and we've got to make sure that we're operating from self, from source, from our higher power when we're engaging and starting to feel into what's really here.
I love that. And I love learning about internal family systems and the parts work. I think it's so powerful just in life and also in medicine work, in spiritual work, like learning how to differentiate and understand and speak with these different aspects that live within us. I can see how that could really help you be able to differentiate, like, okay, is this just a part of me, or is this something outside of me that has attached itself to me? And as we were speaking on the phone yesterday, and one of the big questions that I had, which I'd love for you to share, is how someone can differentiate. Because oftentimes these entities, they attach themselves to us because of our trauma, and somehow they sometimes can be related to our trauma, I think. But how can we tell if it's just trauma, or if it's an entity, or if it's a little bit of both?
Such a good question. Yeah, you know, when you're someone that's experienced a lot of childhood trauma, like I did, you know, these, and you're spiritually gifted, you know, these beings can feel that. These beings can sense like, oh, this child can feel that I'm here, right? And then unconsciously, we can make friends. We're like, I don't want to be alone. And, you know, through the realms, like we could have made this like, okay, like you can help me, protect me, whatever. And they can be sly, you know, they can figure out how to do that. So quite literally, like the entity can be wrapped up in a part, you know, it can be wrapped up in a younger part of you that found power or safety or friendship or love and connection because this being was with you, you know? And it on some levels, like, could have really supported you at a time where you felt really scared and really alone. And now you're just recognizing, like, okay, like, it's not serving me anymore. I don't need this anymore. And it's time to, like, move on. And that's when, like, oftentimes, like, these entities are actually very willing to, like, go, you know, like, and when I've done these healings on people, there's so much grief and emotion because they're like, oh my God, I can feel this relationship that I've had with this being that's, like, been with me my whole life in a way. And so, again, I think to answer your question, like, when we learn internal family systems and when we learn how to really connect with our parts, like our younger parts, we can feel when it's our trauma, like, because sometimes we act out in a way, like someone says something and it really hurts that part of us and we respond and react in a way. We can consciously be aware of, like, oh, this happened to me when I was a child, or this happened to me in one of my relationships. And so I can actually create a connection to why I'm showing up in this way and the emotions that I was feeling and what has happened to me. There's, like, a level of resonance, right? Like, a lot of this realm is energetic, right? So, like, the way that we track is through resonance and dissonance, right? Maybe we responded and reacted in a way and we're, like, sitting and we're like, there's just something that, like, I can't, like, it doesn't make sense. There's not resonance with my trauma or, like, what I've experienced and how I'm showing up. There's something that doesn't quite, there, like, and sometimes we can be unconscious, right? Like, sometimes we have trauma that we've so deeply suppressed in our subconscious that we didn't even know happened to us. Like, in the last year and a half, I remembered a sexual trauma from my childhood that I had no memory, and everything started to make sense. This is when it's, like, it's helpful to have someone that can track your system and to support if you're really feeling there's a difficulty for you to, in understanding what's happening. It can be helpful to reach out for someone to support you in being able to track what's here. And ultimately, what I've found is, like, when I mirror an entity to someone, there's a resonance in their body. They're like, that feels like truth. That feels like truth. And we feel truth in our bodies, right? So if you're acting in these ways and, like, nothing feels like truth, you're digging, like, none of your trauma is making sense, like, that's when there's, you know, empowerment in you becoming curious about that there may be something that's not part of you influencing your reality. So, yeah, that's how I would, like, differentiate that.
So our friend Dana told me, I think it was last year, I started getting more curious about these kind of things. And I asked her about this, and I love what she told me because it takes the pressure off in a way. Like, if you have fear or if you're worried that you might have an entity attachment, I love what she said, that it kind of happens naturally oftentimes. Like, sometimes the entity will just leave when it's time, or you'll become aware of it at a certain point. And I would love to share this experience that I had last year in ayahuasca, where I had a night and ceremony where I was really working through a lot of, like, this fear of darkness. And it's also funny because shortly before this time, I was hearing a lot of stories about, like, people who had demonic attachments in ceremony. Like, I was told a story of this guy who was, like, eating dirt and rocks outside because, like, this entity was, like, in him. And he was, like, out in the ether somewhere. He wasn't even in his body. And that created or brought up a lot of fear in me. And then I went into the ceremony and I was processing a lot of this fear of the darkness. And in that ceremony, I became aware that I had an entity attached to me. And I'm not sure what level maybe it would be considered. I don't think it was like the super intense, like demonic evil. But I did see it as like at first it was just like a creepy looking thing with like red eyes, right? And I was like, what is this? And at first I didn't even fully realize that it was attached to me, but I began to feel it like in my solar plexus area. And I was really trying to get it out. And the more I would try to force it to leave, I could feel it like claws digging into me even deeper. And I was like, okay, I just got to trust the process, right? After the ceremony, you know, I went back to my regular life. And for the next few months leading up to the next ceremony, I was working through so much like shame and victimhood stuff, and it all made sense. Like I had this knowing or this understanding or realization that it was connected to this entity and that this entity had attached to this part of me. And I think a lot of times these entities, and from what I've heard, a lot of them, they can only attach to you if there is something in you that is like a resonance, right? And there may be nuance to that that you know more about, but it was definitely like, it was me, but it was also this entity. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the next ceremony that I did, I saw it. It came into my consciousness. And by the way, it felt throughout these whole months since I noticed it, I felt like I had a belt wrapped around my solar plexus, like it was just tight and dense. And so I went into ceremony and it came into my consciousness and actually looked really funny. It was like, it had a weird like demon face, but it came to me this time with a long lanky body and it was like dancing like a trickster kind of.
It's so wild.
It was actually, I was like, you're kind of funny. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I've been doing all this work. I think I'm ready to release it. And I realized that it was very much tied to the story of victimhood. It seemed like it had been traveling throughout my lineage. Mm-hmm. And I went to our friend Dana because I was like, I've never done this before. I need some help. And I was like, I'm ready to release this, but I'm afraid that it's going to go, like, I don't want it to go to somebody else, right? And so she was like, well, you can just talk to it and ask it like if it's ready to leave, and you can give it to the altar, give it back to the light. And long story short, I did. I released it back to the light. I just wanted to share that to say that sometimes these things will happen naturally and it's like a progression, whereas maybe not everybody has to do like a full-on exorcism. I do think for some people that's probably definitely necessary, especially if it's causing a lot of problems in your life, but it can also just be like a slow, natural process as well.
100%. I so resonate with that. And I love that you share that story because it's so true. Like sometimes even when you become aware of the entity, there's a process of getting to know it and getting to know like how it's influenced your journey and how it's impacting your thoughts and your emotions, just like your process. Like you became aware of it and then you started to separate yourself from it and you started to recognize what was it and what was you. And like it's through that process of separation that actually allows it to, you know, liberate. And we're so much more powerful than we could ever imagine of just asking it, you know, and to leave. And what I always like to do is like literally envision a portal, like a white light portal, and the angels are coming down and they're coming to bring it into another dimension of time and space, you know, like into the angelic realms. And I kind of want to talk about like also like exorcisms and what they actually look like, because I think people are like, rah, like it's just like
this right thing. You think of like the girl like flying to the ceiling and crawling on the walls.
and to be totally honest, like that, there may be some truth to that. I've never experienced something like that. I always tune into my body before I say yes to an experience. And I do think that there's a range of darkness that I haven't even experienced the depth of what is there and don't want to, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually did an exorcism on one of the sisters in ceremony because she was like working it and like it was still in her. And I didn't do a couple of things. I didn't, first of all, pray for my own protection and pray for the protection of all beings in the space. And therefore, when I cleared it out of her, I was moving it into the angelic realms, but because I didn't offer protection, it hopped into my system. And that's like a real thing that has happened to me more than once, you know? And that's part of the learning for me is like going into these experiences and learning through experience. And there was medicine in that for me, right? I like learned, and you know, for anyone that I wouldn't just recommend starting to like do this work, but if you feel inspired and that's your path and what you're doing, prayer is strong. And you can call in prayers of protection. You can call in your guides to protect the space, to protect all beings, to allow this transition of this being to go straight into the heavenly realms, to offer them healing. You know, like your intentionality in your prayer is powerful. And so I just want to name that because like there was a part of you that's like, ah, like is this going to go into someone else's system, you know? And we're so protected in that space because of the prayers. The prayers are strong, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing to bring up too is that, well, first of all, you're very brave, and I really admire your courage to even get into this work because it is intense and these things can happen. You know, that's why they say a lot of times to not try to pull these entities out of someone unless you like, unless you're doing this shit, you know, unless you really know kind of what's going on because they can try to attach themselves to you. I would love to continue on with the protection and how and give people some tips on, I think you've already done that a little bit, but if there's anything else on how people can protect themselves from these entities or how they can protect themselves if they're trying to release one.
You know, your embodiment is your greatest superpower. Your awareness and your embodiment is your greatest superpower. For example, say you're like at a concert and you're like, something feels off. Take a moment, center yourself, bring your awareness fully into your body. And then from the center of your central channel, penetrate light through your central channel and penetrate it out as far as you possibly can. And like to the point where it's like lighting up the whole field that you're in. Like you are just a being of high vibrational light, right? Like bring in the truth of love through your body, what you know, whether you believe in God or angels or, you know, whatever these higher beings that you feel resonance with, like call them in when you're feeling a subtle sense of vulnerability. Protect yourself in that way. Ask for protection. Call them in, whether you vocally say it or you say it through your awareness. And when you're in the truth of love, you're impenetrable. When you're embodied, your literal cells are penetrating the field with unconditional love. Like that is your deepest power. It's so clear, you know, like Jesus and Mary would clear entities in multiple people because of the power of the love that they've cultivated, because of the union of energy that and the energy flow that they opened through their system through the tantric work that they did, you know? And so it's really powerful practice. Tantra is really powerful practice for this, you know, like being able to actually like bring energy from the root of your central channel through your crown and being able to have this like really powerful flow in your central channel and being able to penetrate that out into the field is so powerful. Like that alone is like that is so powerful. You know, what I would say in terms of prayers of protection, like for me, like Yeshua and Mary and Archangel Michael are they're like known for this work, you know, like they've done it, they're known for it. They're the people I go to. I work with so many different guides, but when it comes to this particular space, like those are the beings and I pray. I say, I say, allow me to be a channel for your consciousness. Allow me to be a channel. Allow me to see what you see. Allow me to be guided by your wisdom. As I clear this entity and I ask that every remnant of what is not part of me be cleared in this experience. And I do that whenever I do clearing work on people. I pray that everything that is not part of them be released and that I become a conduit for their wisdom to move through me, because Tanine is not doing it. You know, like my human is not doing it. I become a channel for higher consciousness to move through me, to guide me, to show in my awareness what's happening. So I think those like protections and tools are really strong. And, you know, if you're really feeling it in yourself, it's not something that I remember my mentor, like when I first started getting into this work, he's like, I want to be honest with you. Like, I wouldn't like recommend that you get into this work. And I remember him saying that. I remember the part of me that's like feisty, and it's like, you know, I just want to like serve in this way. It feels like a soul calling. And now that I'm in the arena, I'm like, oh, I get it, you know? And there was something that you said where it's like, I'm not going out and seeking them anymore. And that's one of the things that he told me. When he did the exorcism on me, he was like, it naturally unfolded through the field. I'm no longer going out seeking it. And that's kind of the place that I'm at in this point of my journey, is like, I'm not going out seeking all these entities to clear. If there's a deep soul resonance, like, and I'm feeling like the power of God moving through me to support this person in this way, it's a yes, but I'm not like advertising it, let's just say that.
Put it on a billboard. Who needs an exorcism?
Yeah, because, you know, it's to do this work, it's a lot of energy. It really is. You're moving a lot of energy. And so just for people that are like, oh, I want to like get into this space, like, you know, tread lightly and just do what's in the moment being called of you. If you feel like you have something, The Others Within Us is a great book that I recommend to people that are wanting to understand these realms a little bit more. And yeah, that's what I would say. Like, the protection of your embodiment is the greatest power, and you knowing the truth of love, of higher power, of God, of whatever you are connected to, spirit, like, let that be you. They often have the capacity to enter us when we're fragmented, you know, and like oftentimes our souls can fragment through really traumatic experiences. What you were even saying of like, is it me? Is it my trauma? Is it the entity? Is it both? You know, when we have traumatic experiences where part of our soul leaves our body, it leaves space. So really, like, you know, yoga, such a powerful practice of like coming into the body, bringing your awareness into the body. It strengthens you. You know, there's a reason that these practices have been done for thousands and thousands of years, like meditation, yoga. Like, it's simple, but it's powerful.
And I would also love to touch on, because I've always heard that if an entity has attached itself to you or entered you, there is some level of agreement, whether that's unconscious or not. And I would love to hear your perspective on that, because I think that there's truth to that, but is it always like that? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like I was painting a picture earlier, you know, when we're children, the veil is thin. You know, we're not conditioned in this human reality. We're very open to the spiritual world. And unconsciously, we can make these agreements. And like when I've done this clearing work on people, there are times where I'm like, I've taken 30 entities out of one person in one ceremony. It was wild, because throughout lifetimes, she had entities from different lifetimes that had been following her. You know, like, we are multidimensional. And so, you know, to have this specific, like, what happened in that moment and where did this one come from? Like, it's all in the Akasha, right? Like everything that's ever happened lives in the quantum field of energy and information. And so the information is available to you when you are able to access that level of awareness and then ask and communicate, you can really understand that. In past lifetimes, you could have, like, for example, I've visually seen, and like someone had to basically take a vow back. They made a vow with the darkness that they were going to team up, and they were like, the darkness was going to feel power through it. And so they had power and success, but quite literally gave up a part of their soul in the process. And that happened in a previous lifetime in a different dimension. And so they, like, through the experience, we had to go into that. And so, yes, like, there are agreements that happen. Also, entities can enter into you through sexual experiences. And you're saying yes. Like, and even if you, you know, if it happened through rape or assault or something like that, you know, there is, a way that they can enter your system. And there's unfortunately sometimes where it happens and there's not consent. You know, there's not the, like, yes, I'm saying yes to this. And an element of that, like, what feels true in my system is there's a karmic experience that needs to happen there, right? There's something for you to learn, whether your soul has played in darkness in past lives, or you needed to understand these realms so that your spiritual gifts could awaken, so that you could actually be like, oh my God, this is the nature of our reality that we live in that no one talks about, you know, like sometimes there's an initiation in the process. And so, yeah, sometimes it can happen in a way that where there wasn't consent. And sometimes you do make an agreement or a vow, and part of the disentangling of it is choosing the light, choosing, like, this is the path that I'm on now, and I'm saying no to what once was, and I'm choosing to break this agreement and this vow.
And I think regardless, like you said, there's always a lesson to be learned or something to be gained out of this experience, whether there was a level of agreement or not. And something that you said made me think about, I want to ask you, what do you think about the idea of people selling their soul to the devil? You know, like people, all the conspiracy theorists are like, oh, Beyonce, all these celebrities, they sold their soul to the devil. And I think that there's truth to it, but I think it's not in the way that people think necessarily.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic of conversation because I've received a lot of insight. I've seen and felt like what's happening in Hollywood. And it's interesting because I've heard my guides literally be like, there's going to be a point in time where, like, you're going to be doing work in that arena, in that world. Because I lived in California for 6 years, and every time I would go to LA, I'm like, holy moly, there are so many dark entities here. Like, it just feels like it's like a cesspool of them. More than anywhere else that I've ever been, honestly. Not that I've, like, been all over the world, you know, but like there's just a lot there. And in terms of, like, has Beyonce sold her soul to the devil, like, you know, that what I look at is I look at their eyes. And there's a lot that can be told in people's eyes. And so I'm not here to call out any celebrity that may or may not have them, but I can sense the energy through that. And what I feel through my experience, through the revelations that have come to me, is that you can partner with these energies, and they do give you an immense power, right? It's like, just like angels and these light beings that were like, help me find my purpose, help me heal, help me, you know, we're working with them. And so they're working with the beings that they choose to work with, who they're working with. Like, that feels really unclear to me. I feel like when I really tap into the field and have a conversation with someone that has an entity, a lot of information drops into my field because I'm like connected and I'm aware and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. I'm reading the field. And I don't like to invade people's space. You know, I respect like people are on their journeys, and if something leads them to me and a conversation happens, like I'm open to awakening that. But what feels true is that that is happening in Hollywood, no doubt. Like I have a deep, strong, intuitive sense that that's happening. Who and what, you know, like that's for people to like develop their own level of discernment and look in people's energies, in their eyes, in their the essence in which they exude. The energy that comes and penetrates the field. Like, is it an energy of power that feels like, oh my God, like this is like enlightening me. This is making me feel more love. It's feeling me more expansive, and I feel more alive in the truth of the beauty of love. Or is it like, I feel your power and the energy just feels like power, and there's a dense darkness associated with it. You know, like we all have the power within us to learn and have that own discernment of what truth is.
Absolutely. And this is no shade to Beyonce. I don't know why her name came up specifically, but the eyes are a big one. You can look at pictures of a lot of, I mean, of anybody, but you see it in the in this Hollywood realm oftentimes, and the eyes just look like dead almost, like there's nothing there in a way. And yeah, Hollywood is fascinating. We don't have to go too deep into this, but LA itself and that region of California is a very powerful portal. And I think that there's a reason that they've put Hollywood there, because they know, from what I understand, it has connections to Lemuria and different things, and it's been distorted in so many ways, you know, because just like Sedona is a powerful vortex and a portal, and there's so much light there, but equally as much light is there, there's an equal amount of darkness. And yeah, it's just a really fascinating thing. It's something that has always fascinated me for some reason, like the celebrity world, and not in a way of like celebrity worship, because I definitely, I'm like, no, I can see how these people are oftentimes being used to manipulate or put certain agendas out there or keep people in a certain level of thought and vibration. But it's just a very interesting conversation, because I think people think selling your soul to the devil is like you go to some dark underground cave and you meet a demon and you sign a contract, and I think it looks more like a record label office. But anyway, I digress.
That's so wild to think about, you know, like it can happen in so many ways, you know. And I, as you were talking about Hollywood and it being placed in a certain way, I got full body chills, and I was receiving this insight of like, you know, those beings are so powerful, you know, like if you're a celebrity, the reach that your energy has on the masses, and so much of the communication that's happening in the spiritual realms is happening through energy. It's not happening through like conscious thought. It's happening through the energy of their music, right? And it's happening through the energy, like, so of course they're like, how do we spread this energy to more people? Like, let's reach the people who have the greatest reach, you know? And so it's interesting in that way, because I feel truth in that strategy. And it's a smart one. It's a smart strategy that they got going.
Yeah, I mean, it's been working all this time. I think a lot of people have been waking up to it, but I also think that the idea of selling your soul can be, it doesn't always have to be consciously like, oh, I'm contacting these dark entities to give me power. I think sometimes it can be so simple as you sign to a record label and they tell you, you need to cut your hair like this, you need to sing like this, you basically need to change everything about yourself so that you can be more popular. So it's in a way it's giving up who you actually are in order for money and power and fame, and losing yourself in that. And so there's so much nuance to it.
And that's like the innocence of your soul that is so passionate about your music, and it's so passionate about, you know, being able to spread your work. And then at the same time, you know, the part of you that wants the power and the fame, and it can, it's like, oh, we know she wants that or he wants that. And right, like you said, it's like, it's this unconscious agreement that starts to happen, and then it overtakes you, and then you lose yourself in it. And I do deeply feel that that's happening in those spaces. And it would be so cool to have conversations with actual like people that are in those realms of like the celebrity world to actually like, what is your experience in that? Because I do feel that more and more celebrities are coming out about the spiritual warfare that is really present in Hollywood and in the music industry and in the just the entertainment industry in general.
Yeah, and it reminds me of just quickly on the same ayahuasca ceremony that I had where I was working through the fear of the darkness, I was also really working through this concept of power. And I had a moment where I had a really beautiful purge. Like I purged out a lot of self-doubt and self-judgment and things. And I felt like my body was kind of shaking after, and I felt this like power activate within me. And basically immediately, I felt these dark energies be like, ooh, power. And they like literally exactly like that. And then they were like coming at me. And I felt like it was a whole really important process and initiation for me, because it scared me. And I was like, what is going on? And so I went to our friends and I was like, I found my power and now they want it. Like, what the hell? And she's like, and the more you find your power and your light, the harder they're going to try to get it so they can use it. Right. And I'm like laying in the fetal position, and I have like, it's like, I feel just all of these dark energies like coming at me, trying to like attack me in a way. And I was just like, I was like, San Miguel, please help me. Like,
yeah, it's like protection.
Yes. And I, because I had to remember that in that moment, right? And it was so cool. Like Archangel, I resonate more with calling him San Miguel for some reason, but Archangel Michael, he came, he looked like a fucking samurai. He had like two swords and he was just full of light, and he just like slashed through all the dark energies, and he was like, there you go, you're good. I was like, wow. Like that was the day I really understood the power of like these angelic beings and how much they can really help us. So working with them is super, super powerful.
When I've cleared entities out of people, I see that they attach themselves to the source of their greatest power. Like some people are like really beautiful tantricas that have really divine sexual sensual energy, and it's like they're wrapped up in their womb, you know, or like it's in their heart, and like this being is like the most loving being I've ever met, with so much compassion, and they attach themselves to the source of your greatest power. I've literally seen that happen. So, you know, I feel like the medicine is teaching you, you know, it's teaching you for a reason, and like what that is unknown, but I sense for you that you are going to be stepping into a great level of power, and having this awareness is really important for your journey.
Thank you. That really means a lot. I appreciate that. And yeah, I love you so much. I would love for you to share where people can find you and what you're doing out here in the world.
Yeah. So the best way to get in contact with me, if you have questions or if anything inspires you, like I'm here for it. My Instagram is I am Tanin Mateen. That's TANINMATIN. That is the best way to get in touch with me. As for what I'm doing in the world, this is the last round that I'm going to be running my 7-month spiritual healer training. for the time being. I don't know when the next time I'm going to run it live will be. And it's an incredible experience. I've had people awaken into the true essence of their soul and heal such deep trauma in a group of like-minded, incredible healer beings. And that starts in September. So this is gonna be the last round that I run it. There will be a live in person in Boulder, Colorado in February, where I'm gonna be performing exorcism work on some of the students. They've already said yes, and teaching people about multidimensional reality, multidimensional healing, and really just wanting to like serve and support people that are really gifted in these spaces, just understand how to master their own awareness. Because I think ultimately our awareness is our greatest superpower. And when we become aware and we understand how to work with this, we have so much power and sovereignty and courage, and it's fucking epic. So if that speaks to you, if that calls to you, yeah, I would love to have a conversation with you guys about it. It's a beautiful container.
Definitely jump on it. Tanin, you're just amazing, and your channel is just so divine and so beautiful. And I really appreciate you coming on today. This has been super epic.
I love you so much, and I love being on your podcast. So whenever you want it, I'm here, boo. Like, this was so beautiful, and I just so appreciate the space that you're creating for people to learn and learn the medicine that is right for them. So it's such an honor.
Thank you. We are the medicine. Love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment letting me know how you liked this episode. And if you have topic suggestions for future episodes, feel free to leave them in the comments there. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, it would really help me out if you could leave me a nice review letting me know how you like the podcast so far. Thank you so much, and stay blessed.